Thank you for your faithful giving that's touching lives all over the world. Church of the Nazarene is in over 160 world areas at this point. And it's just good to know that as we participate in giving, we're reaching all over the world and sharing the good news of the gospel. And also things like providing meals. That's happening right here every Tuesday and Thursday night. And it's a blessing to be a part of this work. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs, and then we're also going to be looking at Acts. So an Old Testament book, and then also the book of Acts in the New Testament. It's been about a couple weeks now that we've been sharing some devotions with those who come on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. We've had as many as 57 in-house, and I think last Thursday night we served 60 meals that went out to individuals. And this is in partnership with KSB, but I was working with them, sharing, we're spending some time together, just looking into the Proverbs. And so I got into Proverbs chapter 3 with them, and they've been so encouraging, the group there. By the way, if you're interested in helping with that, talk to Tracy. Tracy, would you lift your hands? We are always in need of additional staff. And she has some orientation things to take you through. But if you haven't experienced the well yet, I want to encourage you to do that. It's an amazing experience. And I know for me, every time I attend, my world gets bigger because I realize that God has been very good to me. And he asks me now, as I have the opportunity to kind of share of those resources, and it's a way to help me keep my eyes on him and on the world that he has brought us to bring his kingdom into. But I was sharing in Proverbs chapter 3, we're talking about how a good name comes about. And by the way, we've been talking about sharing Proverbs with each other, and they're sharing on a little note card sometimes the different modern-day Proverbs that they have. And I think it's good that we're sharing together in that way. But the word before us today says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God. And today we're going to talk about a good name and how valuable a good name is. Next is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, reminding us of the importance and the value of a good name. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Well, October is going to be a big month for Jeanette and I, in more ways than one. But October, we anticipate the arrival of two brand new granddaughters. Yeah. And our son and daughter-in-law, who live in Princeton, believe they have landed on the name of their new arrival, who is due October 16th. The new arrival in their little household will be named Olivia. Beautiful little name. Our daughter and son-in-law are still working on a name, right, for the new... Oh, you have one. All right. Boy, I'd love to know what it is. We may not be ready to quite share it publicly, but we have landed on a name. That's so exciting. Haisley. Oh, I love it. I love it. Haisley, what a beautiful name. Haisley. You know, every one that comes into my barbershop throughout the week, I really want to be able to call them by name because I know how important it is. And knowing people by name, knowing each other by name, communicates something, doesn't it? It communicates that you are important to me and I to you. But I've heard some doozies in the past. I don't know what some parents were thinking when they named their kids what they did. I think some people, they do change their names when they're embarrassed about what their name is, or they just go ahead and suffer through it. And some of the worst names belong to pastors. For instance, there's the pastor at the Lebanon Christian Church in Lebanon, Indiana. His name is Pastor Harry Pitts. But the worst of all the names that I've ever heard belongs to a now deceased Christian church preacher. His last name was spelled O-D-O-R, Odor. Okay, now that's bad. I mean, you'd struggle with that even if your name was George, Ralph, or Tim Odor. But you never believe what his first name was. Ivan. Hi, my name is Ivan Odor. You sure do. I'm not making this up. His wife's name was Doris, and she died in 2009 at the age of 80. Not making it up. Ivan Odor. I'm sure he was a wonderful gentleman. But then there's the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 16, another great 3:16 of the Bible. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Twice in this little verse, there's the reference to the name of Jesus. This occurrence is not an isolated incident. There are many times throughout the Gospels that the name of Jesus is spoken and elevated, and credit is given to the authority and the power of the name of Jesus for healing, for help, for hope. Let's read the chapter together, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from a very little Bible this morning. Simply because if you see a brown Bible around, I've been preaching out of that Bible and making notes in it for my kids for about 15 years. And I laid it down somewhere, and I can't remember where I put it. The last time I seen it was Thursday. So if you see a Bible with some notes in it, it's about three times this big. It's not a real big one, but I'd kind of like to keep using it for a while. So, but in the meantime, Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it is by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy Spirit and the Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that this command, that this complete healing to him has happened, as you all can see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Christ, his Christ, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. 75 times in the Gospels and in Acts, we find phrases like the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is one of ultimate power and eternal hope. The Bible tells us that this man had been unable to walk from the time he was born. This disability prevented him from walking, and he couldn't even walk to the temple. He was carried there every day, and his friends made sure that he was placed there in a place where he could receive the charity of others. This fellow, again, when Peter and John came walking by, reached out and asked for help, and he thought he was going to get a handout. But instead, something completely different happened that day. Instead of a hand out, he got a hand up in Jesus. The Bible tells us that the people were completely amazed. They knew that guy. He was the one that was always there. And all of a sudden, they are witnesses to him running and leaping and praising God in the temple, the scripture says. What a beautiful healing. What awesome power. Got 3 points this morning. Number one, the name of Jesus brings life. The name of Jesus brings life. Sadly, many in our culture have denied that truth or neglected that truth or forgotten that beautiful, amazing reality. The name of Jesus, in fact, has become offensive to some. And I think to a degree the church needs to own some of that, because we have used some tactics that have been unwelcome. Sometimes we need to gain permission before we can speak into people's lives. Tim Allen on the star hit TV show Home Improvement, who's always known for using too much octane or too much electricity, was setting up the nativity scene and accidentally launched the baby Jesus clear over into Wilson's backyard. He thought it was hysterical and wanted to use the name Jesus in that episode. The powers that be who were in charge of filming that episode said, "You can name any other name you want, but you can't say the name Jesus on network TV." Tim Allen contemplated that. He thought about it, and he noted, you know, when you work in this business, you can find out that you can say anything except the name of Jesus. Some have even gone further in disrespect and irreverence. Back in 2007, comedian Kathy Griffin accepted the Emmy Award for her show Life on the D-List. As she picked up the award, she said, "A lot of people come up here and thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one has had less to do with this award than Jesus." She then uttered a blasphemous remark and finished by saying, "This award is my God now." It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 through 24. It says, the Jews demand miraculous signs and the Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Jesus Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's heartbreaking to know that the name that brings life to so many is also an offense to so many. But Jesus is not surprised by this. In fact, he predicted it, that some would receive him and others would reject him. In the first century, the apostles and the other early Christians were very intentional to make sure that they were referring to not a religion, not a system of thinking, not a way of life, but to Jesus. And they came to introduce people to Jesus, not a religion. The name of Jesus offers both help and abundant life here on earth. But you know what? Just as his name is rejected by some today, it was also rejected by some in his day. The name of Jesus for some was offensive, and many rejected him. The event we read about in Acts chapter 3, we find that in Acts chapter 4, the authorities call Peter and John in, and they bring them in, and they say, we command you to not speak in his name again. Peter and John respond simply by this. You can have the authority to tell us that, but judge for yourselves. We have just seen and witnessed a miracle. This man who could not walk from birth is now running and leaping and praising God. Judge for yourselves what we will do. But for us, we will glorify the name of Jesus. And you cannot stop us from speaking in his name. I love that. That's mission. That's love. That's passion. In Ronald Reagan's first inaugural address, he made reference to the simple white grave markers that have filled Arlington Memorial Cemetery. Under one of those markers lies a young man by the name of Martin Tripteau, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed while trying to deliver a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary, and on the flyleaf under the heading, this gentleman had wrote, "My pledge." He said, "America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone." That's passion. Now, Jesus does not force us to serve our world with that intensity, but oh, how we are compelled to do so. Amen. Just this week, Jeanette and I had the privilege of going to Olivet Nazarene University and sitting with 3,000 other Olivet students as we worship the Lord together, sharing the name of Jesus together. Education with a Christian purpose. It's all about Jesus, amen? The name of Jesus might offend some. It might offend many. It might even offend people in your home. It might offend people at your work. I want to encourage you, though. This is not a surprise to God. And Jesus himself told us that it would be that way. Some will accept him, and some will reject. And I want to encourage us to continue dedicating our lives to him, to commit to proclaiming the good news of his salvation. Number two, you've heard me say this a million times. The name of Jesus brings help and healing in every area of life. Where do you need help this morning? What area of your life do you feel like you're struggling? I want to encourage you this morning to take away a simple truth, and that is that Jesus is bigger than what's the matter. Amen. I want to encourage you to name that problem, name that thing, name that power in your life that's communicating and shouting to you only despair, only depression, only fear. And I want you simply to confront that spirit with the name of Jesus. Just say Jesus. There's a beautiful song out right now that says, when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. Have you ever been to that point in your life when that's all you can say and that's all you know what to do because you're out of answers, you're out of solutions, and really all you've got to say in response to this tidal wave of hard times that you're in is Jesus. 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 It's all about Him. The life that we're in is very short. Scripture says that life is like a vapor. I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes and know that salvation is on the way. Not just salvation for your soul, but salvation and redemption for this entire world. He is doing a work in you and in me that He will complete. Amen. Starting a series when I get back at the end of October called The Church. And that series is all about the phrase, I will build my church. I will. I don't want to get in the way of Jesus. And if Jesus puts something in motion, there's nothing I can do to stop it. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to be on that bandwagon. Amen. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to do everything I can with the intensity of the Spirit of God in me to participate in Jesus building His church. The name of Jesus brings help and healing in every area of life. Today it might be something going on in your marriage. It might be your relationship with your children. I tell you what, Bill and I were talking earlier this morning about how chaotic life has gotten as we've become adults. As we get older, it seems like there's just more to do. There's just more things to tend to. There's just more problems. But remember this, Jesus is bigger than what's the matter, and He is Lord. Our lives may be extremely chaotic with trauma or lack of margin. We need His help and healing in every area of our life. Tom Ellsworth says it this way, we're run ragged. We've burned the candle on both ends. We've been ridden hard and put away wet. We meet ourselves coming and going, and we've entered the rat race and are running in the middle of the pack. We need Jesus to restore margin, to restore balance, to restore priorities, to restore perspective. Amen. Jesus brings help and healing in every area of our life. It might be your relationships this morning. It might be your finances. I want to declare in the name of Jesus God's blessing. Remember at the beginning of 2018, we declared that this was going to be a year of blessing. I have not forgotten that. I want to declare that 2018 is a year of blessing. It may be a year for you that it feels like there's just been more intensity. It may be a year for you that it feels like you're having trouble sorting things out in a way that can be a blessing. God's going to restore perspective and priority as you keep your eyes on Him. Like this gentleman whose ankles and feet were deformed from birth, we too have been born with a disability. We have been born deformed. The Bible calls that sin. And there's no way that you and I can get up and walk successfully in health without the touch of Jesus' healing in our lives. Amen. The Bible says that we're all born in sin. And because of that, we have a propensity to sin more and more. I want to encourage you this morning that there's sickness in every area of our life, but the center of that sickness is the root of sin. And I want you to declare with me that Jesus is Lord over everything, and He can cast out sin by the shed blood that He has given for you and me. Amen. He is able. He is capable. He is all-powerful. And finally, the name of Jesus brings hope. The school system in a large city had a program to help children who faced lengthy hospital stays. Children that were going to be out of school for a long time. And this program was put in place by volunteers who would say, I'll interact with the teacher and then I'll go to the hospital and I'll take the child the homework. There was a young boy that his teacher had told this volunteer, when she asked, how can I help this young boy? She said, he needs help not falling behind in English with his adjectives and adverbs. So she took the homework to the hospital room, and she was surprised by what she saw. The condition of the boy was more grave than what she had anticipated. He had been severely burned. And she said, I felt so insignificant and so trivial as I came to him. And I said, I've come to help you with your schoolwork, and I have come so that you don't fall behind learning your adjectives and adverbs. She said, I left discouraged. She said, I didn't think I might have done more harm than good. She said, I left and I went home. She said, I had committed to going back in 3 days. She said, I went back in 3 days and the nurses met me at the nursing station and said, what did you do? What did you do to that boy? She said, from the day that you left, there was an immediate turnaround. He went from despair and grief to hope and optimism. Physically, he turned around. It was like he moved from not having hope to having hope. So the volunteer was equally amazed, and she went in and talked to the little boy. And she said, how are you doing with your adjectives and adverbs? He said, I don't know. Help me out. She said, the nurses are amazed at your progress. She said, what happened that you would turn? It's as though you turned a corner. He said, well, I know they don't send a teacher in to teach adverbs and adjectives to a boy who's going to die. I want to encourage you that every word out of our mouths can be a word of hope. Amen. It can be a reflection of Jesus' lordship over the situations that we're facing in our lives. Every word out of our mouths, every action, every emotion that showed on our faces reflects the lordship of Christ, or our fear that we're going to have to handle life on our own. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's help and healing in the name of Jesus. And there is hope in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're facing today, I encourage you to invite Jesus in. He tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to walk this life alone. You are not alone. I am with you. I will walk with you. And you will never be alone. know today that no other name will ever have the power to save. And can you believe how blessed we are that we know Him? It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. But what it does mean is that we have hope in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the devastating hardship. It means that He that God has raised from the dead, that same power, the Scripture says, is at work in you and at work in me. It means that we have hope when we get up in the morning and face the most devastating circumstances. It means that nothing is bigger than Jesus. It means that even if we have to endure hardship in this life, that there's a day coming when by the power of God, He continues to redeem this fallen creation and your life and mine. It means that one day the skies will be rolled back and we will see Him face to face and we'll think back at a day like today and think, why did I let that get me down? In the light of the power of God, in the light of the power of Jesus, I have every reason to be optimistic and hopeful because I know that God is going to turn around everything for my good and His glory. Amen. Amen. Would you join me this morning and just think about whatever's going on in your life and just speak the name of Jesus into that situation? Jesus. Jesus. I'll never forget the day that I was saved. Mike, could you turn with us there to Philippians, the last scripture in the notes there, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'll never forget the day that I was saved, Community Baptist Church in Milledgeville. My favorite song growing up in church as a young person was, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. The day that I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, we sang that song. And that day, it was about my salvation. Me being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for me. There's a new name, John Paul Trotter, written down in God's book of life. There's a new name, and it's mine. It's mine. He gave His life for me. Jesus, the Lord of the universe, gave His life for me. And He says, John, I want you to live forever in eternity with me. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. This morning, as we come in for a landing, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart, but did you know that God has written in His book for you to be here today? In Psalm 139, it says that God ordained the days of my life, and they are written in His book. You are not here by accident. God has ordained this day, and all we've talked about is Jesus, because it's all about Him anyway. Amen. But there was a day when I was a child when I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and convicting me of my sin, and I realized that I was a sinner. And in the face of a holy God, a sinner who deserved judgment. The grace of Jesus had been poured out for me. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he was thinking of you and he was thinking of me. And he gave his life so that you and I could be saved, could be forgiven, could be accepted into his kingdom as his child. That's a very important day. I just want to encourage anyone here, if you have not yet accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to let today be the day. Would you stand with me in prayer as the worship team comes? God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to encourage you to confess his name today and receive life, help, and healing, and hope. The reality of that is, in the entirety of God's Word, we understand that you and I need to be forgiven, that sin has separated us from God, that sin has been of our own volition. So Jesus invites us this morning to bring to him our confession of him as Lord and an admission that our sins must be dealt with. And there's no other way to deal with sin. The Bible says there's no remission of sins without an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord. So today, it's been all about Jesus. But I want it to be a day that has your name attached to it, personally. Your name. Because this can be just another sermon, another day in the week when you heard some old guy up here rambling on and on. Or it could be like the day in my life when I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And he knew me by name. And he received me into his kingdom. And I became saved. I became a child of his. And I've been working on growing, and he's been working in me ever since. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we thank you for your life in us today. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit's work right here, right now. You've been faithful. You have never let us down. You walk with us. And today, Lord, you are drawing extremely near to each and every one of us. Father, today I thank you that you have reminded us of who you are and who we are, that we need your grace in our lives to be released from the penalty, the death penalty of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our sin upon yourself and dying for us that we may be saved. Dear Jesus, I pray your blessing upon each and every one here. And if there's anyone here, Father, that has not yet come to a place where they have accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray right now in the quietness of this moment that they would join me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. even while I was a sinner and an enemy of you. Jesus, I acknowledge that you are creator and sustainer of everything that I have ever known or have ever seen. That everything in this world is about you. Everything in this universe is about you. You split time between BC and AD. You came to where we are. That you know us by name. You called us out as you're doing this morning. Thank you, Lord. I confess that I am a sinner in need of your saving grace. I confess my deep need of you. I confess that I cannot walk this Christian life without you. I confess that I cannot walk in health, in my spirit, relationship, finances, in all areas of my life. I can't walk this, I can't do this without you. So Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. Receive me as your child. I'd like to invite anyone who has prayed that prayer this morning to raise your hand, just so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving us just as we are. Thank you for new life today in your name, by your power and by your grace. In the name of Jesus, all the people said, amen.
You remain standing as we sing this last song.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, his free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I at last he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Child of God.
thank you so much for being here this morning.
What a joy to celebrate God's goodness and who He is with friends and family. Thank you so much for being here. Sterling First Nazarene begins a revival today with Reverend Kim Smith. I want to tell you, I grew like a weed under Kim Smith's leadership. If you want to go and be there this week, let's make Living Well night Monday night. Why don't we go over there Monday night? We'll meet you somewhere in the foyer about 6:15. That's at 411 13th Avenue. You're going to be encouraged that night. You're going to be convicted, I pray, by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to, I enjoy experiencing that with my brothers and sisters in Christ, so I want to invite you. Saturday, October 6th, Jeanette would like to invite all of our ladies to a baby sprinkle for our daughter-in-law, Tiffany, a baby sprinkle. That's right. This is the daughter of Pastor Renee and Doug. Yeah, Tiffany is. Yes. And so the baby sprinkle will be at 2:30 here on October 6th. Downtown trick-or-treating, October 7th or 27th will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We're going to have the doors open and people can come in and receive some candy and a blessing. And then October 28th, Lost Lake is inviting us. The Lost Lake Church of the Nazarene is inviting us to join them in their trunk-or-treat event. They will be having a dinner, a trunk-or-treating, and then end the service, end the night with a praise night. More information will be coming as well. Right after the service, if you'd like to help set up for the well, basically we just move all the chairs forward and then we start setting up some tables, and there's room for everybody to help, and we appreciate that so very much as we set up for Tuesday and Thursday night, the well, fighting hunger, feeding wellness. All right, yeah. That's all I have.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do the doxology. Ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Good job, guys.
Yep.
Yes. And then we usually do like the last, start out with My Father's House, or is that what you want to do?
Sure.
Or Who the Sun Sets Free.
The sun.
That was off key.
Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place. Child of God, yes I am. The sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
All right. Yep, sure. What everybody wants to do.